Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Hello, my name is Keith Schertz, and I am with the 2002 Daily Herald, Utah County, name of the year, Tosh McIntosh. This is CougarCast, and we're back, and we're excited about the 2016 BYU football season, and this episode is going to be about the offense. Tosh, give me your best-case scenario for the BYU offense.
I am fired up. I mean, we have big names, proven players, really all across, scattered throughout our offense. I think their ceiling, I'm not making a prediction here, but I think their ceiling is a top five offense in the country. Like, if there was an offense, you know, we have the most freak athlete quarterback. We have another quarterback that was, in my eyes, the best freshman quarterback in the nation. We have our all-time leading rusher, most likely. We have receivers and JC transfers that guys are like, we've got a good offense this year.
A lot of things to be excited about, but one of the most difficult parts about figuring out what we're going to be as an offense this year is that it's very duplicitous. There's two very different paths that are taken here, whether you choose between Tanner and Taysom. You know, Ty Detmer has a real problem because he's going to have the offense look entirely different based upon who he makes as his, you know, starting quarterback. You know, things will have to work a lot differently because they have such drastically different styles of play, which will influence, you know, the different plays that you can call and what they're going to look like offensively. And so I think it's important that we have at least a week before the first game, or maybe even more than that, where we know this is who the starting quarterback is. And they said a lot during the media days that they weren't going to screw around, that they weren't going to do this thing to Arizona where no one's going to say anything until game day and try to Bill Belichick it or whatever. they were going to announce who it is. And I actually think that's important because the way that this offense operates, what players are going to be really featured and successful, the change is enormously based upon Tanner versus Taysom.
Totally. I love that we've got two quarterbacks that could start anywhere in the nation, but they are very different. If I'm ranking the offensive groups, quarterback is my number one group that I have the most confidence in. Because, yeah, we have two guys that I would be stoked to see either of them on the field. My gut tells me, and people I've talked to, all signs and people think that Taysom is going to be the starting quarterback.
It's starting to feel like that's where the momentum is, that Taysom recovered faster than normal from his Liz Frank foot injury and said he was 100% media day. That was in the middle of the summer. You know, Taysom's back. If he's healthy, he's ready to go. He's gotten a full fall camp. And has had all the practices, you know. It looks like he's been able to compete and battle the whole way there. And just when you have a guy that is a superhuman athlete, it's hard to defeat that.
And so we never got to see this play out. But last year in fall camp, the word was, man, can Taysom throw better than he's ever thrown before.
Right.
And that we only got a half of that, but that's also word that I keep getting from people that have seen practices is that, yes, Tanner's arm is incredible, but the difference right now is negligible with what Taysom's been able to throw in practice. I know you're a skeptic of Taysom's arm, which I think is fair off of proven games, but off of the hype train, right now, people are hyping up Taysom's throwing ability, and if he's comparable at all in throwing ability, we all know that it's not even close in scramble, in third down, you need your quarterback just to pick up 5 yards. Like, he's elite at that. And that's why, yeah, I think Taysom's going to be our starting quarterback, and I think he's going to do a great job. What I am fired up and love is that we can let Taysom be Taysom this year because we have Tanner, who is going to be an NFL quarterback, as a guy that we could put in if Taysom gets hurt.
Well, it's interesting because I think if you take a look at the problem that I have with Taysom Hill is if he's, first of all, the notion that he is comparable or he's right there neck and neck with Tanner throwing the football is impossible to me. I think that's an impossibility.
Okay.
All right. Christian Stewart was a better passer than Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
Okay. Taysom Hill's not a passer. Okay. Here's what he does well. He throws to the slot. He throws to the inside receiver on an out route, on a one-on-one. Okay. And as long as the route's less than 10 yards, he's comfortable throwing it. He doesn't throw across the middle of the field. He doesn't throw intermediate passes. He doesn't throw long passes. Okay? If those routes aren't available, those short routes, less than 10 yards aren't available, he tucks the ball in and he freaking runs the ball. That's what he does. Why? Because he can't throw good enough. He's not a good enough passer in order to make it happen. So I don't want to hear that he's got the same sort of passing ability as Tanner Mangum. Here's something that huge happened. When Tanner Mangum took over last year under Tanner Mangum, BYU, okay, was 12th in the nation in 30-yard plus plays.
Yeah.
He gets you a ton of big plays. In the only season Taysom was fully on the field for the whole year, the Cougars finished 80th. In big plays, okay?
Yeah, and his big plays were him running.
And it's all grinded out, okay? And so the point is I don't see how that's possible. The real positive of Tanner Mangum is, boy, he can get that ball and stretch the field and move him back and get more space. We already have a good running guy in Jamal Williams. We're going to be able to run the football. Heck, we got a lot of guys that we feel good about running the football. And I think that Tanner provides more opportunities for his teammates to be successful and make that offense more diverse in what it can do. But if you want to pound it and be tough, it's really hard to stop a good Taysom Hill run. And that 1-2 run package, whether him or another good running back there and trying to figure it out, you know, that'll be interesting. Can we run under center now? Because we're under center. Yeah. Even with Taysom is the word.
No, I think, yeah. No, I think so. I think Taysom will be great under center. I mean, it's harder for defenses to know where he's going if they're doing bootlegs and stuff like that when there's just
But that's the real benefit of Taysom is, man, he can just pound it, and beyond that, he'll break free. And his big plays aren't big throws like Tanner. His big plays are – something breaks open and suddenly, zoom, he's gone.
Totally.
And it's amazing. And he's really good. And the weakness for Tanner Mangum is that it's pocket presence. He's growing into it. He was a freshman last year. He had the greatest freshman season in the history of BYU football, in my opinion. And yet, we're not going to build on that. And I don't know. That's hard for me to take. But I think that's what's going to happen. I think you're right. I think we're going to see Taysom. Tanner always rolls right whenever he has pressure. He doesn't do a good job of handling pressure, but that's, by the way, that's like every pocket quarterback ever. And if we're not feeling so great about offensive line, maybe it is better to go with Taysom Hill, right? But we'll move on with that. But yeah, the Tanner versus Taysom, I'm fully a Tanner Mangum guy. I love Tanner Mangum's
game. I'm Switzerland. I think I would be happy with either one starting, but I fully see the Taysom Hill. And I've got guys that have seen practice that I trust their opinion that they're telling me, Tosh, Taysom is throwing the ball well. And so I hope that he just shows you in those games. I think you do too. If he plays, you want him to wing the ball around.
Obviously. Listen, I want him to be successful. I want BYU to play well. You know, the thing is I think if he can throw now, frankly, we don't really know what Taysom is anymore.
We haven't seen him in 2 years.
Like, we've seen one half of football.
Yeah.
And the last, season and a half, basically.
Yeah.
And we got 4 games out of him in the previous year. So, I mean, more than that, you know, a season and 2/3 of a season, basically. But that first 4 games of that season where they were 4-0, he was really tough. He was really tough and physical and everything. He just didn't pass the ball very well.
Yeah.
Jordan,
I'm not going to argue with
that. The best thing that happened to Jordan Leslie that year was Taysom Hill getting hurt because we can now pass the ball with Christian Stewart.
Taysom's had incredible games running the ball. He's only had one game in my mind that sticks out where he made some big plays passing the ball, and that was at Houston. But he also had two picks that game too. But he made – that's the only
game – Was it only two? There may have been more.
Yeah. Either way, that's the only game that sticks out to me where he made big-time plays in a big moment passing. And so, either way, I believe in Taysom. The guy wins freaking games.
You can win football games with both of these guys. By the way, both of them have both gotten to 8 wins in a season. You know.
Yeah.
They both can win games for you. So you're right. Like, you can feel really good. And frankly, what are the odds Taysom Hill stays healthy for 12 games?
Yeah, I think they both play this year.
Yeah. All right.
So
the problem with that, though, Tosh, is that how diverse their playing is. And so what that does is it changes everything for how the offensive linemen have to block, how the running backs have to...
I don't think it does as much in years past. When we were running a read option offense, yes, we're not running a read option. From under center, I think that it's going to be an easier transition from Taysom to passing... purity quarterback.
I hope so.
Than it has been in years past.
I hope so. But you can feel good that at least with we have a quarterback in both cases who you can go to war with, who you can win some games with.
Yep.
All right. Who's your second most, the second unit on the offense that you have the most confidence in?
Running back. And that's what quarterback number one, running backs number two. We've got some players at running back. You know, obviously the big name, Jamal being back, is huge. That's, in Tanner's fairness, how even greater could he have been last year if he had a proven playmaking running back?
Yeah.
Well, this year we've got him back. We also...
By the way, his second best running back is going to be a linebacker this year.
Yeah, that's, which is crazy, isn't it?
Anyway.
But that just shows how much confidence the coaches have in this stable of running backs.
Right.
So we've got Jamal, we've got Squally Canada, got off to a rough start, but I think he's going to have a great year this year. We got Mr. Burt.
Riley Burt,
speedster. And then we also still have back Algie. You know, they're calling Algie Brown a fullback this year.
Yeah.
But that guy's been a proven tough guy, pound the ball back. So we've got him, and then we've just got, I think we have more speed athleticism guys at the running back position than we've had in 15 years since the Staley and McDonald duo.
When you think about Jamal Williams' game, right, how would you describe it?
You know, he I don't know. It's like, tough to describe.
He's on his way to being the all-time leader in rushing.
He's fast, but he's not the burner that just, like, runs around the edge and leaves everyone in his wake. He's not the run-over guys. He's not Barry Sanders' shiftiness. But he's got elements of all of those. And what I was, he's intense. The guy runs intense. Like, and I think that is also contagious for the team, where that guy celebrates more after a first down run than any running back we've ever had. but the guy's good. He picks
up yards.
He competes.
He's tough. He sort of does the right thing. He's like, I want to say he's a game manager running back. I don't even know if that, like, phraseology even exists anywhere. But the point is that it's like you said, he's not bowling people. He's not Jerome Bettis. He's not the guy that Marshawn Lynch. He's not those guys. And yeah, he's not going to leave people in his wake. But he just does the right thing every carry and does what's needed. And
the dude never fumbles.
That's the very best stat about him. 493 carries in his career. 493 carries. Zero fumbles lost.
It's insane.
How excited
for as hard as he runs.
How excited are you for Squally Canada this year, who has one rush, one fumble lost in his BYU career?
I am excited for him. And I think he's got to be more excited than anybody to kind of pad that stat a little bit in the right direction instead of this one-for-one ratio.
His carry-fumble ratio is as bad as it can be. Yeah, no, but with Squally, I mean, is he the same thing as Jamal?
So, I don't know. I mean, because no one's really seen that guy in a game. But the practice reports are that they run him a lot more outside of the tackles.
Okay.
That I think he's definitely a speed guy, but he, from the look of him, he's big, built guy too.
5'11", 200?
I think they've got multiple backs that can do what they need them to do.
But here's the question. All right? Offenses, I love it when running backs catch the football and get involved. Now, that was a big staple in Robert and I's offense and something that kind of wasn't as much used in the last few years we had Robert and I.
Yeah.
But having a running back that can catch the football is huge. We know that Jamal Williams can't catch the football.
He's average at best.
At best. I would say he has poor hands.
Yeah.
But
that's his weak link in his game.
Yeah, he can't catch the football out of the backfield. Also, he's not much of a pass block guy. Like
he's okay there.
He's okay, but everyone keeps saying Algie's the guy, but he hasn't really shown it either. But I guess is he our best bet, or what running back can potentially catch the football?
I mean, yeah, he's our best bet there. Like he makes great plays in practice. We all remember some of Algie's ill-timed drops in big games. You know, obviously Trey Dye can catch, but he's fourth string running back.
Right.
So that just shows you we've got some depth. We got some players, but to your point, especially if the tight ends don't step it up, we need the backs to be kind of that safety valve. And that is the thing that's the only question mark I have for this running back group. Can any of them be the passing game's safety valve?
That's right. So it'll be interesting. Maybe it'll come from fullback backup Braden El-Bakri.
Yep. Best diverse name on the team.
El-Bakri. He's great. And then also another fullback we love. We want to see him on the field. Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Creed Richardson.
I would just love, just for his, Creed, every time he goes in, they start just blasting Creed around the stadium.
That's right. Yeah. Can you take me higher? Or actually, they should put Apollo Creed's son up on the...
That'd be great, too. There's so many, and then there's Creed from The Office. There's just so many the BYU marketing department's just chomping at the bit for Creed to become...
Bronco would have loved Creed. He was a big fan of having Creeds.
Yes,
he was. All right. So those are the running backs. We love Creed. We want to see Creed. Number 4-6, we want him out there. Okay, your third most confident position group.
Wide receiver.
And so we're good at the skill spots.
Yes.
Okay.
We've got names people recognize. At receiver, I've been hearing a lot of worry warts talking about, well, we lost Mitch Matthews. We lost Devin Blackman. We lost Taron Houck. All of which put up big plays last year at times. I think, I don't mean this with any disrespect to those guys, I think we're going to be fine. We've got Kurtz back. We've got Mitch Juergens, who when healthy, that guy was actually our best playmaker out of anyone last
year. He's a good player.
We've got, a guy that hasn't done anything crazy yet, but has been a proven asset to the team, and Colby Pearson back. And then those are the names you'll recognize. In names that you might not recognize are actually some of the guys that I think are going to wow you. We've got Jonah Trinneman.
So he's the one you're most excited about or second most excited about? So I think maybe second from talking to you. But Jonah Trinneman is the JC transfer, 6 foot, 190. He's going to be on the field. We expect him to start.
Yes.
And
I actually think that he will lead the team in receiving yards this year.
Okay. So you're very excited about the potential that Jonah Trinneman provides for the Cougar offense this year.
He is going to be the most athletic wow guy that I think fans will see on the field this year.
He will not lead the team receiving as Taysom's a passer. That'll be the slot
Time
receiver.
Will tell.
That'll be the slot receiver. Okay, so you're really excited about Jonah Trinneman. Fast?
Yes. That's the word that everyone uses in describing. And the guy, yes, it was Snow College, but he averaged over 17 yards per reception last year for the season. Like, he's a big play guy.
I worry about our ability to use that.
Well, here's your thing.
Taysom.
But he turns short passes into long plays,
You think
too.
So?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I hope so.
He does beat guys deep. But
All
the
right.
guy's a playmaker. In other names that you might... The hardcore fans are aware of Jonah Trinneman. In that you really have to be a hardcore fan to know this next guy, Bo... Now I'm forgetting his last
Bo
name.
Tanner.
Tanner.
Yeah, Bo Tanner.
Bo Tanner... Also, very similar kind of story is Trinneman really excelled in JC. Out of high school, had signed with Kentucky after his mission, had Texas Tech coming after him hard. He is going to be, and that's why you thought that Jonah might be my second, because I am super high on Bo.
He loves Bo Tanner.
Bo will wow people, and no one's talking about him. If there was one player that no one is even on their radar who's going to just first game, who the heck is this guy? It's Bo Tanner at receiver.
So, and you think we're going to see Bo Tanner right away. So he'll be on the field. He wears number 80. Describe, what does Bo Tanner look like?
Easy to describe this. He is vanilla ice with muscles. He's short, though. Some coaches
have... Was Vanilla Ice tall?
In Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze, he looked somewhat tall up on the stage.
Yeah.
But I know Bo is not tall, but he is...
Are turtles tall, though? I don't know. But anyway, I'm sorry, I keep getting distracted by Vanilla Ice's height. But I want to... So, Bo Tanner, though, you're excited about him, and then... why? I mean, other than what do you think that
he's
going to do?
Shifty, athletic, proven pass catcher. But the guy,
is there a chance he's a punt returner, kick returner?
I think yes. The word that I have heard coaches used in hushed tones is Covey-esque.
Ooh, the covetous.
Yeah, are thinking this guy could be
So that's a University of Utah reference for those who don't.
BYU fans know who Covey is because we were all so ticked he didn't come here. So,
but he'll be highly effective?
Very highly effective player.
All right.
And then we also, there's guys. We have depth at the receiver.
Well, there's guys like, you know, Moroni, Laulu, Pututau.
Easier just called MLP.
MLP, okay. We got the other Juergens brother, right? People like Akil Davis.
Yep.
Right.
Who's mainly going to play defense? Though,
we have a Lotu Lele now.
Yep.
That's exciting.
We love to hear that.
We're stealing the Lotu Leles. That's a great thing. I want the Shumway brothers also. Right. They're the king of like fall and spring camp highlights.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh hey, who did that? Oh look, it's Talon Shumway. He's Coy Detmer Jr.'s favorite target. I know that. The thing that I worry about with the receivers, Tosh, there's a whole lot of soft. It looks like there may be a whole lot of soft out there. I'm sorry. Nick Kurtz, right? He's bigger and more athletic and better, but he's a little Ross Oppo-y.
So who did we have last year? Who did we have last year that wasn't soft? I can only think of one guy.
Well, Mitch Matthews was soft.
Yeah.
Mitch Juergens is not soft. I don't think he's a soft receiver.
And I think Hauk was not. Like, that guy would take hits, was making tough catches. I don't think he was soft. But
I worry about the nation being soft in
catches out of bounds. Like, he would just get pushed out. And I think Kurtz has a little element of that to him.
Absolutely.
That I hope that he can be a little bit tougher. It's well documented that our receivers have always shriveled with press coverage. There's someone bumping him at the line.
It's not very physical.
Hopefully now that our defense is playing that, they are getting a lot more used to it and better coaching on that in practice. Overall, I think our receivers put up good numbers. Now we're starting to get to the position groups that worry me slightly.
Yeah.
And let's talk the one that should be in the perfect world, the number one confidence, that here we've got him ranked as our number four confidence
position groups.
Offensive line.
Did you notice how quickly he went by the soft claim? He doesn't want to think about it. He doesn't want to talk about soft receivers, but... Anyway, okay, offensive line. Listen, a lot of experience coming back, and people are like, hey, look at all the experience. Tosh, is it good to have a bunch of experience coming back for guys that have only been okay?
I would rather great players, even if it's their first year in the program. But okay guys...
With experience is better than... All right, okay.
Fresh new faces
but
that are just
there's
okay.
No reason to suddenly think that, you know, that there's a couple offensive line, like JJ in Wigway is suddenly just going to be this, like, he's got the NFL holes that he opens is unbelievable. Like, you know, he's okay.
He's a solid player,
he's not. So, who do you think, all right, who's our five guys, right?
Caroma, if he is not suspended from, because it's well documented he left school for a little while. If he
there's kind of a he said, she said thing going on with Kalani and Tejan on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, it was
a little
kinda,
bit of a,
it's kind of awkward, a little weird. Yeah.
If Caroma is eligible, he will be starting. If Tony Kanuk. Yep. I like to pronounce those letters a little different.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that guy, he's tough. You know, he will be in a position that the best lineman, in my opinion, the one that will play in the NFL.
Is Ului? Ului Lapuaho. Ului.
Yes.
He eats horse meat. And he punches people in the nuts.
Yes, he is famous for both of those things.
Punches Broncos in the nuts, and he eats Broncos.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's weird around horses. That guy will start. And then this is where it kind of gets to be a little bit of a question marky. Is we have both Brad Wilcox and
Kyle Johnson
started last year. We're going to be seniors this year.
Right.
That have not participated in fall camp yet.
And we don't know exactly what's going on there. It's my understanding, and this could be wrong, but I'm pretty certain that it's not, so I'll put it out there. But Kyle Johnson's hurt. But we haven't seen him around. There's reports that he hasn't been around. So we don't really know what's happening there. But JJ in Wigwe, he'll be back, right? And then there's guys like that, the newcomers that maybe have a chance to make an impact, okay? There's two guys that have come to the team from SUU. They were brought here by Ed Lamb, and they both are graduate transfers, so they're available right away. The guy with only 1 year of eligibility that is on the team is Andrew Ide. He's 6'5", 301, and he'll join the team.
Yep.
What do you know about Andrew Ide? Anything?
Coaches love him. I mean, he's a big-bodied guy. There's him, and I hear similar things about him and Kian Norman.
Kian Norman is the other one.
Yeah, Kian can play 2 years. The coaches are high on both of them and think that they could be used at multiple different positions if needed. And these guys Ed Lamb didn't bring them here and talk them into coming with him because he wasn't going to use them or because they don't think they're going to play. Like, both of these guys plan on playing, and I think really give us some much-needed depth because both those guys dominated at the level right below us.
Right.
And so
SU had plenty, that quarterback had plenty of time.
Yeah.
He wrote it all. Great year. Did he get drafted?
They had several players get drafted. I'm not sure if their quarterback did, but they had several NFL guys. And I've talked to guys at SUU that are ticked off these guys transferred here because they think that both of these guys have NFL potential. So that is a wrinkle to this year's offensive line that could help us be better than we have been in the past few years. Last year, we took a step in the right direction. But I hope we take another big step. If we're going to be an elite team, we need to have better offensive line play.
Absolutely. Okay, so the offensive line is a question mark. More experience with different blocking schemes. And harder to block for Taysom, maybe, because he's you just don't know what he's going to be doing all the time. And so Taysom, that's another one, is we took more sacks with Taysom Hill than we do with other guys because, you know.
Before we move on from offensive line, too, I do need to add, the big news is that they're all bigger.
Like, oh, yeah, they are.
That was a big thing with this new staff, is that they needed to get our linemen bigger and stronger. And they had them working out with the strength and conditioning coach 6 days a week. The least amount of weight gain was 22 pounds. Like, our line is going to be bigger, meaner, stronger from body-wise than we were last
year.
That's
throwback. But, again, that shows you, though, a difference in philosophy with this new group, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't – we're not playing the spread anymore.
Not go fast, go hard, where we need endurance out of our
line. We're huddling. We're doing everything else.
We're going to give these guys rest between plays.
The splits are going to be closer. Yeah. They're probably going to have their hand in the ground sometimes.
Yep.
Like, we never had our hand in the ground, even the guards.
Yeah.
But that'll change. All right, and your least confident position group for the 2016 BYU offense is?
Tight end.
Oh, you think?
And has that not been the case like for the last 5-6 years?
Well, in recruiting, we've brought in like 5 tight ends have been recruited and are on their way in different classes. We've really gone aggressively after tight ends. But Let's talk about the guys that were initially listed as tight ends coming into fall camp. Okay. Tanner Baldry, he comes back to the team. Hunter Marshall and Nate Sampson, all three of them return. Okay. Here's what you need to know about those three guys. As lovely as they may be as human beings, mid-season last year, BYU decided to take their defensive end in Remington Peck and start lining him up at tight end. He played the second half of the season, came in, he caught a few balls, caught touchdowns, even threw for a touchdown. Remington Peck was elected to come in and be a tight end off the defensive line last year and was more successful at it than Tanner Baldry, Hunter Marshall, Nate Sampson.
By leaps and bounds better.
By quite a bit better. So, in fact, I don't even really remember seeing those guys ever get a chance to even step on the field. And so the fact that you could just take a guy who hadn't played there his whole career and then for the last, like, five games of his career moved over and was pretty successful, that may tell you all you need to know about Tanner Baldry, Hunter Marshall, and Nate Sampson. We don't expect much from them.
And if those guys weren't already getting disrespected enough from last year's Remington Peck move, this year, every single day, we hear about some new players that have been changed position groups. The most recent, so there's been several linebackers that have been moved over, but just as of yesterday, Moroni, MLP, they moved him, they're looking at from receiver there, because he's 220 pounds. And so
he won't be blocking. That's a receiving tight end.
They're just looking for anybody that can be a playmaker at that position.
Well, there's a couple newcomers that come in. Cody Savage, 6'6", 260. He's a freshman. We don't know much about him, do we?
No, I don't know anything about
him. All right. But
great name, but besides that.
The macho man, Cody Savage, if he catches a touchdown or just any pass this year, if Greg Rubel doesn't give an, oh, yeah, and then eat a Slim Jim, he's really messing this thing up.
Yes. That'll be a big time.
If that, by the way, if that happens, the best part of it will be bewildered Mark Lyons.
I'm sure that Rubel is just a huge WWE fan. He just seems the type.
Just the old school. He might even like the old WWF, which is fine. Macho Man Cody Savage. Maybe my favorite name on the team, a guy whose name is Solomon Wolfgram, which just sounds like a fake name that you would make for a Tinder account.
Oh, yeah. And you'd get a lot of swipe rights.
You'd get so many rights. It'd be unbelievable. You'd be making so many matches. Wolfgram is his last name. It could be his first name. You could flip it both ways.
Wolfgram Solomon works, too.
It looks great. It's a phone book name. Works either way. Solomon Wolfgram. 6'5", 260. We've actually seen videos of Solomon Wolfgram. But here's the intrigue about Solomon Wolfgram. You look at his bio, and there's nothing on there about him being a football player. In fact, he's a transfer from BYU Hawaii. He's a sophomore, but it's his first year with the program, first year in Provo. Just returned from his mission. He was out there with Motokaya Langi. If you look on Twitter or on the internet, you can find a picture of the two of them standing together. This man is 6'5", 260, and you'll go, the size of that Motokaya Langi is still astounding.
Yeah.
But anyway, Solomon Wolfgram, basketball player. He played for the Seasiders. He was out there at BYU Hawaii. He was named by his local player the high school basketball player of the year. And he took his team to the semifinals in California in state play. So pretty good basketball player, really good basketball player. So basketball player becoming a tight end, I'm sure you're thinking he's going to be Antonio Gates, right?
At a minimum.
Tony Gonzalez, here he comes.
It's just some guys can do that, some guys can't. If you haven't played with pads and really, I mean, it's a different game. In all fairness, there are several guys in this tight end group that intrigue me, but I am worried about if this.
And we were joking, but Solomon Wolfgram, he's big enough to block.
Yeah,
and he looks quick enough to go and catch.
He's
footballs.
Athletic and can move. Yeah.
So, are we kind of leaning towards Solomon Wolfgram? 99? Is he going to be the guy?
I think that yes, or if it's it. To me, it's a two-man race, or MLP.
Or halfway through the season.
Troy Hines was looking good, but then his hips have flared up, and they're bothering him again. I think it's Wolfgram or Moroni that are going to be...
Maybe halfway through the season, they'll take Tomase Laulile off the defensive line and make him start catching passes.
Maybe so. It worked last year.
Solomon Wolfgram, though, it's kind of an interesting deal. It'll be him. And then, yeah, like you mentioned quickly, Troy Hines has been moved from linebacker to tight end to try it there, but you said he had a setback.
Yep.
His body.
Hips, and then everyone's worried that's it's just going to not go away.
That's just been what's always gone on with him.
Yep.
And then... And then the other one that they tried, Alema Pilimai.
Freshman who's fast, but he just might not be ready this year from what I'm hearing. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Not much to be excited about with the tight end group, right?
Nope.
All right, so let's ask a few questions. Are we going to have a 3,000-yard passer this year? We did last year.
3,000s, I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Because I think Taysom's going to be the starter. He's going to throw. I think he's going to throw well, but I don't think 3,000 yards passing is in the cards.
All right, let me give you a little stat.
Okay.
Okay. BYU has never finished in the top 25 with a passer who's had less than 3,000 yards. In fact, the lowest amount of yards that we've passed for and finished in the top 25 in a season is 3,600 yards. About that, a little more than 3,600 yards. That's by that was Max Hall who did that. And okay. So the point is you know,
historically we've needed some.
So the point is we've needed really wing it in the past. Yeah. We've never made it as a running team to the top 25. It's just kind of interesting thought experiment.
Yep.
That's all that means. I think so you don't think we're going to have a 3,000-yard passer cuz you're fully invested in the Taysom Hill season coming.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yep. Okay, how about rushing then, since you think it's going to be Taysom? Okay, how many rushing yards do we end up with?
I think that Taysom will rush if he could rush for 2,000 yards.
Whoa!
Like
Rashad Salaam style.
I think that Taysom is going to run all over the place. I think he's going to be our leading rusher. I think that Jamal will break the rushing record. Jamal will get a lot of yards, but I don't think Jamal's going to get as many carries as he's used to because we've got some really athletic guys behind him too. So that's why I think Taysom will be our leading rusher.
You know, one of the things that's interesting with Taysom Hill this year, by the way, he changed his number. He went from number 4, now he's number 7. He's doing that in honor of his brother. I also think, though, that he should change his name placard on the back. It should say Hill, comma, if he stays healthy. Because that's basically his last name in every conversation BYU fans. Takes a bill if he stays healthy, and then they make their next point.
Yeah.
What do you think? Will he change it on his placard?
No, I do not think that.
Hill, comma, if he stays
healthy. We could send him a message, but I doubt he does it, yeah. But this year, in past years, my whole season predictions have been on. I think we can have a great season if Hill stays healthy. This year, Hill staying healthy is awesome. I think we can still have a great season because our backup quarterback is going to be off the charts talented as well.
All right, so it won't matter who the main guy is.
Correct.
All right, so that is it, the 2016 offensive preview. Really excited about the skill players, the guys that are on the line, people that put your hands in the ground.
They could surprise us, but yep, I wish they were stronger and more confident there.
All right, so there you have it. We'll be back with more CougarCast. The defense is next.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!